thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone, friends, are the reason that we're doing this today. He alone is, in my mind, the one, Kevin, the one. When did you meet the one, Kevin? When did you get saved?
1979. I met him in my bedroom. And, boy, just an amazing, amazing place. But it's an amazing place just because the Lord met me there. What a...
What prompted it? I mean, what was the prompting?
The prompting for me was I was a... I'm glad God doesn't point out all your sins and you have to name all your sins in order to get saved. But what he does do is he points out your chief fault that's standing between you and salvation. So if you go to hell, you'll go because of your sins, because that's the pun that God has to remove your sins from you. But if you're not willing to do that, he'll have to remove you with the sins and forever. And they have to be paid for in where the devil was created for in hell. But I was convicted of the thing that kept me from repentance and faith, and that was my pride. Not so much ego, so much it's pride, stubbornness. I was a good German, man. I was just like, hey, nothing moves me. I'm tough. And unfortunately, God had to show me I was wrong. And I was like Fonzie in the old Happy Days. You know, I remember there was an episode where he made a mistake and they're like, Fonzie, just apologize. Okay, he just couldn't do it. And because he was so cool. But, you know, I was that way. But God prompted me through reading the Word of God that all my problems were me. And I said, God, if this word's true, then I'm a sinner. And it is my fault that I need you and have rejected you and come into my life and save me. And he did.
Folks, do you remember a time like that in your life? You need to have it. You need to come to that time where you realize there's only one way to deal with sin, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross at Calvary. And I'm so glad Kevin did that there in his room. And I hope you do. I want to share a couple verses with you. We're using the word deception today, and we're going right to the scripture we're using, then a couple others we'll talk about. But right there in Matthew 4 and 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And we'll get in beyond that here in a few minutes in Matthew 24. And the Lord teaches us some things about those who lie, those who deceive us. And, first of all, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he should also reap. If I plant cucumber seeds, I grow cucumbers. I don't get tomatoes. You know, whatever I plant is what's going to grow. And the Lord reminds us to be doers of the word. And there's many. And, you know, we read those verses a minute ago, and there's many that'll claim to be the Christ. I had a friend of mine, an evangelist, was in Waco, Texas years ago, and he was up at the hospital. I'll never forget this. I won't use his name because I don't have his permission. But he was in the waiting room in Waco, Texas, and one of the Branch Davidian people were in the hospital getting something done. So their leader, a guy named David Koresh, stood up and started preaching. And this evangelist said, if I close my eyes for a minute, I almost thought this guy was God. Had a special connection with God. There's many that will lie, that will deceive you, that will try to do things. Take heed that no man deceive you. And the best way to do that, folks, is to know the truth, to know God's word, to not be caught. Even within our own Baptist movement in years gone by, there's been people who've come along and decided that end times are already here, that we're in mid times, that we're tribulation this and tribulation that, completely contrary to the word. They use one or two verses to try to say that thing. Don't be deceived, brethren. Study things out. Be like the Bereans in the Bible. Study it out. See it in God's word. Ask those questions. Ask us. We'll answer them for you. We'll be glad to talk about that. But Kevin, it's so easy in 2024 to type into Google, to type into any of those search engines and say, I want to find this. And I'm here to tell you, you can stumble across Scientology. You can stumble across Jehovah's Witnesses. I get handwritten letters that say, hi, Doug. Hi, Debbie. They send them to Debbie and I. I'm your neighbor, and I want to tell you that some people question about God. We have answers, and they're beautiful letters. And then they give us a call or join us sometime at Kingdom Hall. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And I think that's important, Kevin, that we realize that.
Yeah, we live in a day of deception. The Bible says, as you toward the end days, they shall believe a lie. Certainly during the period that we call the tribulation, Jesus used, you know, said that during the tribulation of those days. So during that, men, it says in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 2, that men will believe a lie. And it says in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist deceives the whole world. So we're talking about a worldwide deception that's going to be going on. But, you know, in some degree, like you said, with the day of the internet, this, you know, the Bible does forecast the days of massive improvements of transportation and interconnectability of communication, because it says, and I didn't look it up, but it says something effective, and I believe it's in the last chapter of Daniel, I might be wrong, it says, men shall go to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. I think it's the very end of the book of Daniel, actually. Men shall go to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Well, men always go to and fro. They've always done that since the beginning, and knowledge has always increased because you learn some stuff. But it's obviously talking about an exponential type of thing. And people went from taking months to cross the ocean to taking hours to cross the ocean, and that we can learn, you know, infinitely more almost through the internet than we could 30 years ago. So the idea is that be careful, because you can just Google in some stuff, come up with information, and a deceiver will be there posing as someone conservative with a narrative that's false. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. There's always been deceivers. In fact, where Jesus was forecasting this, in the days directly following that, you know, Jesus forecast it, there was deceivers came. For instance, Acts 5:36, some of the Pharisees were talking in those days in the book of Acts. For before those days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and after all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. In Acts 8:9, it says there rose up certain called Simon, and he, you know, Simon the sorcerer, it says he was giving out that he himself was some great one. Now, why do I say that? Because Jesus forecast, he said, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Christ does not mean that someone's saying, hey, I'm Jesus. You know, that's not necessarily that. Christ means the anointed one. I'm the one that God has sent. So an antichrist, I get it. They could say I'm the returning Christ. I get that too. But just for someone to say I am a special person that God raised up, listen to me, having men's persons in admiration is a dangerous place and a dangerous time to be, Doug. And Jesus warned us. That was the first thing out of his mouth was, take heed that no man deceive you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in order to follow the truth, you have to know the truth. In order, I've had so many people who've come out of cults, and I was listening to every word you said. It's so important to understand. And so many people call themselves the Christ. I mean, and L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, here's a guy, they got three houses out in California waiting for him, completely furnished with security. So when he comes back from Jupiter or whatever, he's going to move into the... And I mean, there's entire generations of people getting second mortgages so that more people can become Scientologists. We were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses to completely change the Bible to a New World Translation. The guy who started Jehovah's Witnesses was a guy who left a Sunday school class because he didn't like the way they were teaching it. Same thing happened, friends, with the Mormon Church. And so I think the thing to remember here is, friends, knowledge is a spiritual blessing in your life. That in the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, when he says something's amiss, believe it. When he says something's wrong, buy it. And, you know, you just got, our God is not mocked. You know, we're not going to mock God. These people who are mocking God and doing these other things, Folks, you're either saved or you're not. You're either for us or you're against us. You're either part of this. And I think we all need to be very careful when we understand what the Word of God teaches and tells us. And that's why there's so much urgency to see our loved ones saved. That's why there's so much urgency in our faith to send missionaries. That's why there's so much urgency that we travel around the country, because we want people to know the truth. So they'll know. When we meet people with trauma and PTSD, if they know the truth will set you free, is what God tells us. It changes you. It makes everything different in you, different. And I tell you, as we look at this deception and as we move forward, just have an open mind and say, God, what do you have for me in this? It's amazing that as just looking at this today, it's just blowing my mind to bits and saying, boy, God, we're right in the midst of this. Hey, hang with us. We'll be right back with you. Let's let the radio stations do what they got to do.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So, folks, here we are in the book of Matthew, the Olivet Discourse, continuing on Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. For Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. That's why we load that information in. That's why we know the truth. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These wars are going to be here, folks. They must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation. I mentioned last week that I believe 47 nations are actually involved in combat war right now. Not just helping 47 nations in this world. In the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so right away, we've already looked at this, God warns us about being deceived. And, you know, when we get a warning about being deceived, we need to check into it. When I was in the Army, one of the things that we did is we walked around with this deck of cards that were flashcards. And we looked at what the enemy's uniforms look like, what their tanks look like, what their airplanes look like, the dialect of their talk, that they would speak English a little differently. We had to know all that because we had to know who was trying to deceive the Army, come into our camp and blow us up. Well, folks, can I tell you, the same situation as God. In the rise of false Christ, Jesus predicts many false prophets will come, claiming to be Christ and deceiving many. And folks, this highlights, I think, the prevalence of deception in spiritual warfare and end times. The only thing we're looking for now is a shout and a trump. We are clearly in end times. These wars and rumors of wars, they're everywhere. You don't have to turn on TV very long to know these things are going on. Sadly, I think this Saturday, from when we're sitting here recording this particular episode, this coming up Saturday is the 2-year anniversary of the Russians attacking Ukraine. And boy, we're seeing, and then the beginning of sorrows. Jesus describes these events and says, hey, they're going to be sorrowful. This is the beginning of sorrow. This is real. It's coming, folks. And I think it's really important that as we study God's word, we got to know we're in the beginning of sorrows. And, you know, he's emphasizing, again, the tribulations, the trials. But, again, these are temporary. All these things, and I want to encourage you with this. I just don't want to leave you hanging and say, this is terrible, everything's bad. I want you to know these are temporary. And I want you to know that we're looking forward to when we spend eternity in heaven. And not one of you will live during the tribulation, no matter what any new preacher has to say about you. Just read the Word of God. Trust God. There's going to be a shout and a trump, and the dead shall raise up first. We're going to be right there. It's one of those times I'm not going to be afraid of heights. I'm just going to go. I'm going to be ready, Kevin. There'll be no parachute on my back. I'm ready for God to lift me up. And I think, brother, you know, what we're saying to these folks is real deception. It's there. There's many that will come.
So true. We don't have to have fear over the future, because Jesus Christ you know, owns the future, and he's writing it for us in advance. And I'm so thankful, thank the Lord, that we have this in front of us. And like you said, it does, it's not like, oh no, you know, what's the difference between a doomsdayer and a Christian? A doomsdayer sees things as having a bad ending. We see things as having a good ending. And, you know, we're all going to die, and I'm not going to rejoice, and I'm not going to focus on the fact that I'm going to die someday. There are some Christians, I'm afraid, they get to, you know, their mentality is more like, okay, everything's going to get so bad, guys. The end is near. and so, you know, it's like someone that's obsessed with death. But, you know, we're talking about a passage, a passage into something better. And another reason I think we can take heart is because when Jesus said all these are the beginnings of sorrows, that word sorrows is the word Odin in Greek. O-D-I-N, and Odin, and that word is our word for birth pains. It's only used a couple times, like three, four times, and it's our word for birth pains. And when you look at what pain is like for a woman having a child, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. I know when I stub my toe, that's got to be worse than childbirth. That's all I know because I'm a man, and it's got to be like, but a woman's like, yeah, right, yeah, 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 poor boy. But no, the reality is the sorrows, birth pains come on slowly. They come on minutely at a wider separation, wider interval between, and you know, you get the light labor, you know, contractions, and as the womb begins to contract more and more, it doesn't suddenly go, it goes, you know, squeezes and then releases and squeezes a little more and then releases and a little bit closer together as it does it, you know, and so a good midwife or, you know, OBGYN nurse, whatever, it's time of the contractions, and you call and like, should I take her in? Well, how far apart are the contractions? And but if you put a graph, if you put a sine wave graph to the whole thing, these are small waves with low peaks and large valleys. But by the time you get to the midpoint of the thing, you're talking about large waves, you know, large peaks, smaller valleys. And that's just the way that Jesus described the end times. The description that we're going to be looking at is a description of sorrows, problems, and traumatic situations, and they will come on slowly at first. I'm talking about as planet Earth, they will come on slowly at first. Well, when did they come on? They started with the death of Jesus Christ, because John said, we know that the last days are upon us. We know that it is the last day. And as I've told you, the Antichrist shall come. Even so, there are now many Antichrists in the world. And so, then you know, so we're in the last days. But in the last days, Paul said, shall come all these other bad things. So there's a time where it's not, you know, if you could say that for the last 2,000 years, you've had the, you know, Braxton Hicks contractions. If you've ever had a child, you'd probably know what I'm talking about. But really, what Jesus is forecasting is the sorrows, the beginning of serious sorrows, genuine labor contractions. And when they come on, it's going to, and let me just tell you, just to cut to the chase, you can graph the trials and tribulations of planet Earth on a graph. Earthquakes, volcanoes have gotten more frequent and worse, and they come and then they disappear. And then they come and they disappear. When they disappear, people says, hey, everything's fine. When they come, people are like, oh, this is it. This is the end. Well, the Jesus Christ will not return to the end of the tribulation until the final birth pain. It's going to birth the nation of Israel in a day. The Bible says, shall a nation be born in a day. So the final push is going to bring Israel to salvation. The remnant shall be saved. But up until that time, there's a over and over experience of coming and going and then coming back and getting worse and then going. So if we get a good president in the next election, guess what? Thank God for a temporary valley, a temporary reprieve, but it's going to come back. It's going to get worse. We don't know when. Only God knows when.
Yeah. So years ago, there was these evangelists that would go around and say, I believe the Lord's coming on January 1st, 2012, or January 1st, 2001, or January 1st, 2000. I remember people were storing up food and sea rations in 2000 and you know, filling their houses with all that stuff. And And listen, you know, it's going to be a shout and a trump. No man knows the time, but we do know this. We can look at wars and rumors of wars. We can look at more earthquakes. We can look at more storms. We can look at more craziness. We're going to look at betrayal in a minute. We're going to look at all or tomorrow as we go through these things. And folks, it's real. We know it's there, but we also know that we can trust wholeheartedly in the Lord to take us through these things. We also know that that God's got our back. So we're not going to stand through a tribulation period. That we can, not only can we trust God, but he's telling us about it and taking us through it. He's bringing us, folks. We don't have to worry about it. And, you know, all those evangelists, all those people who lined up and said the date that the end times were coming, every one of them were wrong. Yep. There are some that changed the date. There's an evangelist out in California that's on his fifth iteration, and he's still got 10, 12,000 people that jump off a roof or something like that every time a date comes up. Wow. Because they before it comes, they want to make sure they're caught up. Folks, can I tell you how to get caught up? Trust Christ. Mm. Hey, we love you guys. Make sure you come back tomorrow as we talk about being betrayed. May God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you. And He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.